All right, let's jump in. I just want to say I love you guys. I was so blessed coming in this morning. Thank you. I was so blessed coming in this morning, just entering in the door and getting prayed and loved on. That meant so much. You guys are really family to me. I feel weepy. I'm going to talk about belonging. So it's because I feel so, I know I belong with our God that loves me so much. But we need each other, and you fulfill that belonging. And I just want to thank you guys as I jump into my belonging message. All right, so I was listening to a TED Talk. Do you guys ever listen to TED Talks?
Yeah.
Oh, you do, eh? All right. So this is Brené Brown. Have you heard of her?
Yeah.
All right, did you hear The Power of Vulnerability?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was kicking awesome, eh? So if you guys have a chance to look at it, she did a 6-year study, and she went to every culture, every group around the world, and defined out what does a human need? Like, what does every human have in common? What do they need? And guess what she found out? Some of us know that's odd. What do you think she found out? Speak out loud and clear. Love?
Community?
Keep going. It's related. Vulnerability, because that's what she was talking on. Yes. Yes. But the major core thing, vulnerability is what sets us free of shame and everything else. What the main thing that every human being needs is connection, belonging. Every single human being. Doesn't matter if you're young, you're old, what culture you come from, some tribe out somewhere. Everybody is wired. She did this study as a scientist. She has like a couple degrees, 3 or something, as a non-believer. And guess what? At the end of 6 years, what she became? A Christian through this study. Powerful, eh? So she said that the greatest fear in the world is that we are not going to fit in. Isn't that something? We want to stand out, but we also want to fit in. I wrote a quote down from Robert Williams. He said this, and you know he committed suicide, right? When he died, but Robert Williams.
Robin.
Sorry, when she quoted it was Robert. Now, not the worst thing in the world is to be alone. The worst thing is to be around people that make you feel alone. You made that quote. Isn't that so true? People have a deep desire to be known. Loneliness is a feeling of separation, an isolation, or a distance in human relationship. Loneliness implies emotional pain, an empty feeling, and a yearning to feel and understood and accepted by someone. Loneliness is not the same as being alone. Loneliness is a feeling of alone. No matter how many people, like I said, are around you, it is a feeling of being disconnected, unplugged, and isolated, invisible. I think we've all had moments like that, right? We're human. We've had our moments like that. But as I'll say again, that with last year and the high level of death that was in our region, I think we were close to 80 by the time we flipped over into the new year. And that's a lot of deaths, right, between overdose and suicide. But that is just the manifestation. We know the root cause is loneliness, right? There's the only reason that would draw us. We all have different coping mechanisms, right? But that was theirs, and that is the ones they struggle with, right? And we were not created to be alone. Genesis, what's the first thing God said to Adam? Does anybody know? Not good to be alone. And guess what? That was before sin ever entered the world. They were in complete paradise. There was no sin. They were in complete right relationship with God. And God said to him, it was not good for man to be alone. So how is it important? We need this. We need this. We are not complete without it. Right? Yeah, I know it's a first commandment, but that's how it goes, right? It's love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And why are we created that way? Because God is family. We know in the Godhead, there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're family. They love each other. And as they love each other, they love has to produce children. Right, honey? Has to produce children, right? There's fruit. There's fruit. Good timing to sit there. There's fruit to come forth, right? And so, and but because of that, the love between the Godhead, they wanted a family outside of them, so they created us, right? And as they created us, they put the same love they have within the Godhead in us to go back to Him, right? It says in Romans 5:22-5, but the last part in 5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He literally puts His love in us to love Him back. It says before Jesus cruised the earth, I forget the last chapter in John, but He says, Father, put a love in those you're going to bring close to me. You're bringing in the same love we have with each other. Right? That's some kick butt love. Right? Again, how do we survive with that amount of love intensity inside of us? But we get it by gazing at Him because He's crazy about us. Right? He's crazy about us. And that's where burnout doesn't exist if we're spending that time with Him. Right? I knew that because doing Cole's ninth year, I had to step away a lot. So out of that, it says that it's our Father. It's not my Father, or it's our Father. Jesus is our Father in heaven. He wants to father everybody. A lot of times when I pray for people downstairs, I say, come and father them where they've never been fathered. Come and mother them where they've never been mothered. Right? So, because our Father has a deep desire to have family that experiences and share His love with one another. And we love, as it says in 1 John 4:19, we love because He first loved us. And so that is the order of how it flows. You guys get that? All right. Sorry, I'm used to having response back when I'm talking to Amen! All right, I like that. Preach, sister. I like that too. Well, I'm going to have a sip while I get ready to preach again. Okay. So people, right after this statement, I'm going to throw up the video. Okay. People long for belonging, then they believe, and then they will behave. Right? And I just got a short little clip from Robbie Dawkins. Some of you have seen this out of this series. I think this was a Holy Spirit one. You can move it a little bit forward till he starts talking because this song goes a little bit.
And I think we've made this relationship with God not about a relationship, but about meeting requirements. And so much of what tells us, even a lot of the sermons and messages are how to be a better you, how to perform better, how to get more out of your life, how to get, and everything is sort of, if you do these principles, and I remember even hearing a pastor tell me one time, you know, the Christian life is about following principles. And I think back on that and I'm like, no. You know, what happens in a love affair, in a relationship, is that in that relationship, you know, I know the person and I know what they like and I know what they want and I know what pleases them, and I do those things because it's motivated by the desire to get closer. And I think that's what we've missed, is we've gotten through the checklist and we've gone through that if I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this, then I'm in. And I think the difference is that this is not about a circle that says I'm either in or out, but it's about, am I pursuing Christ? And the only way I can pursue Christ is to be pursuing and going after a relationship with Him, which is going to be motivated by love. That's where we've missed it. And I had a dream many years ago that totally revolutionized my theology. It totally changed how I think of doing church. I grew up in church, and I grew up in a keep this, keep this, keep this, and this is what you are. I saw the Lord show me this picture of this church filled with drug addicts, with prostitutes, with drug dealers, with gangbangers, with people from all different sorts of crime life, and they were in this church and they were doing everything wrong. They were having sex in the pews. They were drinking. They were doing drugs in the pews. They were selling drugs to each other. They were doing everything they were doing was wrong. They were fighting. And I was trying to stop all that. And I remember at one point I hollered out and I said, if you're not going to honor God's house and respect his house, then get out. Exactly what probably the majority of pastors or leaders would say. And I remember the Lord speaking back to me so clearly and saying, why would you send away what I've sent in? Why would you send away what you've been asking for? And I said, God, I didn't ask for this. And he said, you asked me for the lost. And he said, now, keep it simple, love them, and let me change them. And that completely revolutionized how I thought of church and how I saw evangelism and everything. And it wasn't about pointing out to people what they were and were not doing, but what Christ was inviting them to. Love me, and I'll change you. Love me, pursue me, and I'll do all the hard stuff. I just want you coming after me.
Have you guys seen that before? From the Father Lights video?
Yeah.
Very powerful. Scary powerful, isn't it? Yeah. And it's true. We have it backwards. We do. Like, we begin to behave, right, after we believe. But before you can believe, you gotta belong. Right? Like rules. Think about rules. Like if, yeah, we have rules. We have to have rules, right? We can't drive the road without rules. I get it. But when somebody is there for you and cares about you, you don't care how much knowledge someone has if you know they don't care for you. And if it's just rule after rule, you start to hate the rules. And that's why I have a lot downstairs. Right? And I have rules downstairs. It's life. I have rules because I want to pull them up. I want to pull them higher. I mean, I'm the only place that will not put a needle box downstairs out of every other place that serves these people, right? My guy from Nightlife came to me. I love Nightlife. They're starting up. They might be after March now. If you guys know about Nightlife, they're starting up downtown. They just got a place, and they're going to be open 3 nights a week. They're a Christian organization. And I know Jeff's the fellow, I forget his last name, that is starting it up. But he walked with us yesterday, and he came to me. He says, I'm really struggling. I don't know whether to put needle boxes in or not put needle boxes in. And I said to him, you know, that is your choice. I said, my choice is, I understand it. Don't get me wrong. I understand safe needles. I get it. But what did Jesus do? I heard this statement once. If he was here, he wouldn't train blind eye dogs. He'd heal the blind. Get it? Do you know what I mean? We are overcomers. We are overcomers. And what we give them is Jesus, who is an overcomer. Right? You know, I'm not here to, you know, I get it. You want to keep them alive. That's not keep, I get it for the moment. But I'm here to get them healed up. I'm here to call every plan and purpose God has in their life. And how I do is I love them down there. Just like our regulars I shared the other day. Mike, I mean, tough Mike. Love the brother. He just gave George a big gift on Tuesday to give to him. He loves us. I know he's still using, but, you know, he lets us pray for him all the time. But he says, I love you guys. I will not use on this property. I used to, but I will not anymore. Right? Because he knows that we love him and he's being drawn in with belonging. What he was created for. Right? I have a lot of the guys say that. Even today, my street buddy downstairs, Kitty, goes, are you open again? Because I was policing the place, and I want to make sure everything's okay again, right? So she's downstairs today because I haven't seen her in a couple weeks. But she loves us, right? Because I was there for her because she was, what was it, 2 years ago when we found her, and she was in a tent because a fellow that she was dating had her captured in a tent for, like, a period of time. And then they came to eat, and she was in the bathroom, and I opened up the bathroom. You okay? Well, she opened it. She goes, can you get him away from us? And I was able to call the cops and got him away, and then we were able to minister to her and help her. So, you know, so she's been on our heart. We've helped her walk through some stuff, and so she just loves us, right? And they respect her on the street, and because she respects us, how much more they respect us too, right? She is a street mommy, and she's awesome. So... the preaching side of things, eh? You got to have water. So I just want to share a little of connection. So I didn't get my scriptures in fast enough for Aline. So if you guys want to, it's in John, and it talks about the Samaritan woman, John 4. This was Jesus. You guys remember when she came to the well and asked for water. So verse 7, it goes down to, start at verse 7. She says, she's drawing water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had left, and the Samaritan said to him, "How is it that a Jew asked for a drink from a Samaritan?" So if you guys know, I mean, the Samaritans absolutely hated each other, and the Jews hated each other in this culture, right? So that was humongous for Jesus. So Jesus is starting to reach out to give connection to this lady. And she's blown away, like, "I'm a Jew. What are you doing?" And Jesus says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would give you living water." She gets all jazzed then. She's realizing, okay, he's talking to me, he's reaching out to me, and men did not teach women in that culture. Women were not allowed to do anything. They were not allowed to, you know, vote, or they were very looked down at. And the woman said to him, okay, and then they continue their conversation, and he says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Whatever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water dwelling up for eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty. Come here to draw water again." Jesus said, "Go, call your husband and have him to come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. So you have said true." Now, you think, man, what a chick, man. She's been married five times. Do you know that women were not allowed to divorce? So that changes. Only men were allowed to divorce. So she's been rejected five times. Do you see the depth of her rejection? Right? And the one she's with now is not going to, doesn't want to marry her. Right? So there's some rejection there. She comes with some wounds. And Jesus, who's a male, is reaching out to her. On that zone, he's Jewish. This is powerful, very powerful. This was not this. His disciples, when he came back, weren't impressed that he was doing this, right? And it goes on. They brought the food, and he said, "I have food that you don't know of," right? And the woman believed. This is verse 21. "Woman, believe me, and the hour is coming." Then he explains what's taking place, and out of that, he's teaching her, and then she gets, "Oh, it's our Father." She comes to the place where she's changing her language, "Our Father." She's talking about Jacob and our father, because she was talking about Jacob. You guys know the story, right? And then the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming." He goes on, "And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I speak to you, I am he." Just then his disciples came back. They were marveled that he was talking with her. But no one said, What do you do? What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her?" So the woman left. The woman left her water jug and went into the town and said, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him to eat. And that's when he said, "Yeah, food you don't know." So the disciples said to one another, "Has someone brought him food?" And then he goes on, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months until the harvest?" So he's explaining them about the reaping and talking to her. And I want to get to the end because I still have lots to preach. Then many Samaritans, verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritan came to him, Samaritans, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we heard that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Powerful. A very rejected woman. Jesus reached out to her. And what happened? What'd she do? Out of an encounter with God, with a connection that says, you know what? You belong. She came back into the city, and how many got saved? Right? Powerful, broken, disregarded woman. No man wanted her. Rejected. She gets out there, and the testimony brought everybody in, right? The power of the testimony of Jesus. So that was just one example of Jesus. There's tons in Scripture. But that is just one powerful example of connection. So, and out of that, what is one of the greatest things that you guys know that takes us away from connection? Do you guys know what it is? Got it, baby. You named it, shame. Shame is so powerful. Shame. Now, first, we can have conviction that says we did something wrong, but shame says we are wrong, right? It says that we are not enough. But what sets us free, and then Brené Brown talks about vulnerability, is one who comes out of shame was the one that is vulnerable, right? Vulnerability breaks the power of shame. What makes us vulnerable makes us beautiful. Do you know that beautiful breakdown means be you in full? Be you in full. Right? And to be vulnerable, to take a risk, to step out and allow people to see you in your weakness. You know, I stumble words here. You guys don't mind or whatever. I know I'm weak. I'm weak. It's Christ in me that strengthens me. We're all weak. We need each other, right? And that's why we're the body of Christ. You know, I might be a hand, but if I'm not connected to you, I'm just a hand. I need you to move me, right? We were created to need each other and belong. My guys downstairs, I talk to them all the time. They long for family. I hear it all the time. They pray for family because their family came out of such brokenness. So what I say is we don't have a right to hide the poor. We don't have a right because they're messy or inconvenient, right? No, we need them and they need us. And we are poor too, right? I'm getting near the end, guys. We are all our brother's keepers. That's what the scripture says, right? And I'm just going to write a few things. Belonging, I got 7 points here in belonging. It says, you carry a family name. You have identity, right? I have a thing Krista made downstairs. I have a name. Giving a name to somebody gives them identity. When I welcome you and I hug you and I tell you I'm glad you're here today and how can I serve you, I want to give them identity. I tell you, it's tough out there. I know it's tough out there for young children, especially electronic generation. What are they saying now? 70 different identities out there or something right now? My kid said to me, right? And you know, yay for electronics, but it comes with its issues, as we know as parents and things. It's bringing a lot of disconnect too, right? And what we're created for. And all these different identities. We know who we are in Christ. We are the answer. We are the overcomers, you know? So we need to go out there, and we need to pray for them, and we need to love on them, and we need to show them who they are in Christ, and that God has a plan and purpose for you. I don't care what your past looks like. We'll walk through that need be. Yes, you're imperfect. So are we apart from Christ. Yes, we're created to suffer. So that's just the way it is. But you belong, and you are worthy to belong. That's our message. Give it to our kids, right? That's a powerful message. So give a name. Number two, I'm known and I have a community. Knowing something so powerful, I took a picture of this when we were in Florida, this little plaque. It said, a friend knows the song in my heart and sings that song to me when my memory fails. Right? Isn't that powerful? Every one of us has a song in our heart. Every one of us has a dream, and some of us die without fulfilling those dreams. But let's pull the gold out of each other. Right? Even in our church, it's not the church we go to, it's our church. We need to own it, because when we own something, we have authority. If you don't own it, we don't have authority. Blah, 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 talk all you want. We need to own it. Right? So, we are accepted. We have a people. We are valued. Number five, I have a shared responsibility. We try to do that, and we're working on that more, getting more people to do stuff and have responsibility with us downstairs. That's what family does. Like Sharon's cooking down there right now. It's awesome. She came in. I met her when I was cleaning with actually Jim McDonald in an apartment. She came out. I talked to her, prayed for her. Before I know it, she's been helping us downstairs for the last 2 years, and she's owning a Sunday. She's cooking. It's phenomenal, right? So we share, and some of us, we will share the same core values and share vision together, and we have purpose together. Loyalty, we're loyal to with each other even if we don't share the same, you know, we share the core same beliefs, but we're loyal even if I disagree a little bit and you disagree, doesn't matter. We love each other, right? We know who we are in Christ. We're going to have little things that we're not going to always agree on, but what's so much bigger than that, right? And I want to end that in the book of Acts. You guys remember the story after the Holy Spirit fell on them and the church was developed, and it said that they were very generous to each other, right? Talking about being vulnerable, very generous. They gave of everything. And it says, and even in there it says they gave to each other, and they also make sure they always gave to the poor. And in their generosity, does anybody know what the scripture said about them? It says they lacked nothing. Lacked nothing. That's pretty powerful. It convicts me, right? To work on more generosity. But generosity sets us free. Remember one guy used to always say, give away your poverty. Give it away. You know, give out your poorness, your struggle. But I think we need to come to a church where we're so generous. So generous. Then God will supply for us. It's a spiritual principle, right? They lacked nothing in their vulnerability, giving out to each other and giving to the poor. Does that make sense? Right? And that's what God walks. He's calling us to this. He's calling us. And you know what? In Matthew 16:18, it said that he talks to Peter and he says, on this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell not prevail. I believe when the body of Christ really falls in love with Jesus and falls in love with each other, and we start giving out to our community and we start owning our city, that is our responsibility, owning it, that I believe we will come to a place where the gates of hell cannot even prevail into our church. They come onto our church property, they get laid out in the presence of God and get delivered, because the gates of hell cannot even be here. Do you know what I'm saying? What a testimony that will be, right? But that's what we're called to. That's what we're called to. So I think I'm past time. So I want to just say, let's have a prayer moment, and I guess, you guys do worship afterwards, a little worship? Oh, okay. I just want us to quiet our hearts for a second, and I just want to ask us, I want us individually to ask the Lord two questions. Okay, so Lord, as we quiet our hearts before you, I want you guys to repeat, if you feel comfortable in your own heart, say, if my land, or yeah, you can say it out loud, sure, whatever. If my land empowers me and gives me destiny, can you tell me one thing you would like me to do in my city? When you hear one thing, maybe you don't, maybe the Lord will show you later. Second question, can you show me who I need to connect with to start this one thing? Okay, because of time, I'm going to leave you with that with the Lord. I was going to get someone to come up. But it's baby steps with the Lord, okay? And we just need to ask him those questions. Because the city belongs to us. You drive by a homeless person over there, that is your homeless person, okay? This is your homeless person. That's a wake-up call. We are responsible. We are responsible to love and bring belonging, to set people free from shame and disconnect. It makes me think of Misty's song. One of her songs says, "Did you learn to love, not about your ministry?" I'll end it with this, and then I'll pray. Bobby Jones, one of those prophet guys, he died back in the 60s. And when he died, he saw two lions, and one unfortunately wasn't going to heaven. And whenever they worshiped, they were wearing. So one was wearing land or wearing money. And the other lion, and he had such a grieving heart for it, right? And the other lion he saw was those going into Jesus, going into heaven. And to enter into heaven, Jesus' heart would open up. And he would ask everyone, "Did you learn to love?" That was the question he asked them before they went into heaven. And so he talks about these three different stories of people. But when it came up to him, he said, "Look at those people in that line." Jesus says, "I grieve for them. I want you to go back, and I want you to love them, and I want you to share the good news." Right? And he went back. He came back into his body, and he lived for a couple more years. I think it was about 4 years ago, if anybody recalls. He died literally on Valentine's Day. That powerful? But that is, I hear this a lot, and I hear it in songs, but it's like Jesus is going to ask us, "Did you learn to love?" That's what's important. Did we learn to love? We are accountable to love. We're accountable for our city, for our land, and for each other. Okay? All right. So if any, I don't think, do we even have a ministry team up here? Okay. If anybody wants prayer for anything and wants to come talking in prayer in this direction, please come up. And I'm past time, so the Lord bless you guys. The Lord keep you guys. And may, as this is opened up to you guys, may the Lord continue to show you. It's baby steps. He loves us. And as his love overtakes us, may we love each other and have our eyes open what he's opening up for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you.